onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for Friday, December the 16th, 2016. We're going to be covering chapters 13, 14, and 15 of the book of 2 Samuel. So let's just jump right into this. I told you yesterday that Dawood was going to have trouble within his own household. Yahweh was going to punish him for the sin with Bathsheba, and he would have an internal family problems that would be quite severe. Well, in this chapter, it starts right here. And I'll have to take a drink of orange juice here every once in a while to keep the pipes clear. I'm having the bronchial problems again. That's a continuing thing, 24/7. Verse 1 of chapter 13. It came to be after this that Abishalom, 53, the son of Dawid, had a beautiful 3303 sister whose name was Tamar, 8559. Just like the woman that was the daughter-in-law of Yehuda. And Amnon, 550, the son of Dawid, loved her. That's 157. Now, he was a brother to Abishalom, thus making Tamar Amnon's sister. And there is a clear prohibition against any kind of sexual activity between brother and sister. 157 here, Ahab, is properly translated as lusted for or carnal desire. In Brown Driver Briggs Gesenius lexicon, and in Strong's, it's love, pure or impure, of a sexual nature. Well, he's not to lust after his sister, and that is Leviticus 18, verse 9, and chapter 20, verse 17. This is a direct violation of the commandments of Yahweh. Very, very, very sinful and just totally improper. I had to clear the pipes out a little. Let's see. Verse 2. Amnon was so distressed, 6887, that he fell sick, 2470, because of, 5668, his sister Tamar, because she was a virgin, 1330, and in the eyes of Amnon, it was too difficult 6381, too difficult to do anything to her. Well, yeah, I mean, they were, you know, she was his sister. He's not supposed to do anything to her. Verse 3. But Amnon had a friend, 7453, whose name was Jonadab, 3122, the son of Shimeah, 8093, Dawid's brother. So he was a cousin. And Jonadab was a very wise 2450 man. Cunning. Okay. Verse 4. Said he to him, why are you, the king's son, so weak, 1800 from day to day? Will you not tell me? And Amnon said to him, I love, that's 157 again, and that is as carnal desire. I love Tamar, my brother Abishalom's sister. So evidently he and Abishalom had a different mother, because Dawid had a number of wives. But the sister law in Leviticus covers all of that. Doesn't matter if they had different mothers, she's still of his father, therefore she's his sister. Half-sister or not, he's not to mess with her. Straight up. No ifs, ands, or buts. That's forbidden. Verse 5, said Jonadab to him, lay down upon your bed and act sickly. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, please let my sister Tamar come and feed me food and prepare the food in my sight that I may see it and eat from her hand. Verse 6, so Amnon lay down and acted sick. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, please let Tamar, my sister, come and make, 3823, a couple, 8147, of cakes, 3834, in my sight, that I may eat from her hand. Verse 7, Dawid sent to his house, to Tamar, she was living in another house, saying, go now to your brother Amnon's house and prepare him food. Verse 8, so Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took dough, 1217, and kneaded, 3888, it, and made cakes in his sight, and cooked, 1310, the cakes. Verse 9, she took a pan, 4958, and poured them out, 3332, before him, but he refused, 3985, to eat. And Amnon said, send forth all men from by me. And they went forth, every man from by him. In other words, he sent everybody out so they would be alone. Verse 10, said Amnon to Tamar, bring the food into the chamber, 2315. Here, that's Kedar. Here is the bed chamber, as in verse 5. He was laying down on the bed in his bedroom. Bring the food into the chamber that I may eat from your hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. So he's setting her up to get her into the bedroom. Verse 11. And when she brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, come, lie with me, my sister. That means lie with sexually. And here's verse 12. And you can reference verse 12, Leviticus 18, 9, and 11, and 20, 17, and Deuteronomy 27, 22. She replied to him, nay, my brother, do not humble me. Humble is 6031. For no such thing should be done in Israel. That's according to the law. She knew the law. Do not do this disgraceful folly. That's one word in the Hebrew. 5039. Nabalah. Remember Nabal, the fool? Well, this is Nabalah. This is disgraceful folly, foolishness. Verse 13. And I, where, 575, will I carry, 1980, that's literally, will I carry or to walk my shame, 2781. I will, where will I walk in my shame? And you will be as one of the fools, 5036, Nibalim, that's plural, in Israel. Now, please, speak to the king, because he will not withhold me from you. You know, of course he would. But he's trying to get, she's trying to get him to go talk to the king, and the king will say, what? You want to lie with your sister? No, no, you're not. She's trying to set him up, but he wouldn't, you know, she's trying to put him off. Verse 14, and you can reference verse 14 in Leviticus 18, 6 and 9, 20, 17, and Deuteronomy 27, 22. He would not listen to her voice, but being stronger, 2388, humbled her and lay with her. In other words, he raped her. All right, verse 15 says, then Amnon hated her, and that is 8130, and that is Sinaeha. And here it is as sexual revulsion. He hated her with a very great hatred, 8135, and that is Sinea. Very similar. And here is also as sexual revulsion. So the hatred, 8135 again, with which he hated her, 8130, the sexual revulsion which he had for her was greater than the love, 160, that's ahaba, that's here as lust or passion, with which he had loved, 157, that's as carnal desire, with which he had loved her. So he was revolted by her sexually more than he had desired her before. So he had her, and he wasn't interested anymore. Once he scored, he wasn't interested. And Amnon said to her, arise and go. In other words, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, take off. Get out of here. This guy's bad. Okay? Let's just put it this way. This is evil right here. She said she to him, no, because 182, this evil, 7451, in sending me away is greater than the other, 312, that you did to me. But he would not listen to her. Verse 17. Then he called his servant that ministered to him, 8334, and said, send now this one away from me outside, 2351, and bolt, 5274, the door, 1817, after her. In other words, put her outside and lock the door. Verse 18. Upon her was a tunic, 3801, of long skirts and sleeves, 6446. Because with such robes, 4598, were the king's virgin daughters appareled, 3847. Then his servant brought her forth outside and bolted the door after her. The servant grabbed her by the arm, escorted her out, shoved her out the door, and locked it. Whew. Verse 19. Tamar put ashes upon her head and rent her tunic of long skirts and sleeves that was upon her, and laid her hand upon her head and went on crying out, 2199. Well, she gets home, and here's verse 20. Said Abishalom, her brother, to her, has Amnon, your brother, been with you? He figures out what went on, that Amnon had her sexually in violation of Yahweh's laws. Has Amnon, your brother, been with you? But now, be silent, 2790, my sister. He is your brother. Do not put, 7896, this thing to mind, 3820. And that's literally heart, but the Hebrew considers the heart the center of thought and reason. So Tamar remained desolated, 8074, and that's Shomema, as sexually violated and then deserted, in her brother Abishalom's house. Oh boy. Verse 21. And there's a problem here. When King Dawid heard of all these things, he was very angry. Okay, he was angry, but he didn't do anything about it, and he shirked his kingly duty. He should have punished him immediately, even though he was his son. He was not doing equity within Yahweh's law. Even if his son had done this, he should punish his son. All right, now the reason for this is the punishment for this crime, if you read in Leviticus, those verses, it's a death penalty for this. He is to be put to death. Verse Verse 22, Abishalom spoke to his brother Amnon neither good nor evil. Didn't say a thing about it, kept quiet. For Abishalom hated Amnon because he had humbled his sister Tamar. So this stuff idled for a while. It came to be after 2 years that Abishalom had sheep shears, 1494, and Baal Katzor, 1178, which is beside Ephraim. And Abishalom invited all the king's sons. It was a big event when they sheared the sheep. Verse 24. Abishalom came to the king and said, Behold now, your servant has sheep shears. Let the king please and his servants go with your servant. And even his son, he was the son of the king, but he, in deference, he called himself his servant, even though he was his son. Verse 25, said the king to Abishalom, Nay, my son, let us not all now go, lest we be a burden to you. 3513. Literally heavy. And he urged him, but he would not go, but blessed him. Then said Abishalom, If not, please let my brother Amnon go with us. Said the king to him, Why should he go with you? He suspected something. Verse 27, But Abishalom urged him, so he let Amnon and all the king's See, he let go Amnon and all the king's sons with him. Verse 28. Abishalom had commanded his servants, saying, Look now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, in other words, merry, 2, 8, 9, 5, when he's drunk, and when I say to you, smite Amnon, then kill him and fear not. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be sons of valor. Verse 29. The servants of Abishalom did to Amnon as Abishalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons rose up, and every man rode upon his mule and fled. Because they were worried that he was going to kill them too. Verse 30. It came to be while they were on the way that news came to Dawud saying, Abishalom has slain all the king's sons and there is not one of them left. That was a false rumor. Verse 31. The king arose and tore his garments and lay on the ground, and all his servants stood by with their clothing rent. That was when they tear their clothes, that was a sign of grief. Verse 32. Yonadab, the son of Shimeah, Dawud's brother, answered and said, Let not my lord say they have slain all the young men, the king's sons, because Amnon only is dead, because by the command of Abishalom, this has been determined, 7760, from the day he humbled his sister Tamar. There's a reason for it. Verse 33, Now let not the king take the thing to heart, to say in his heart that all the king's sons are dead, because Amnon only is dead. And this was because Dawud didn't do his duty as the king. It's his fault. Verse 34, Abishalom fled. The young man keeping watch, 6822, lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there came many people by the way of the side of the hill behind him. Verse 35, said Jonadab to the king, behold, the king's sons come. As your servant said, so it is. Verse 36, it came to be as he made an end of speaking that, behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voices and wept. And the king also and all his servants wept very greatly. Verse 37. But Abishalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Amihud, 5989, king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day. Even though he was a rotten piece of crap that raped his own sister. David is making mistakes here. And he's going to have problems with Abishalom later. Because he didn't do his duty. Verse 38. So Abishalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. Verse 39. King David longed 3615 to go forth to Abishalom, for he was consoled 5162 over Amnon because he was dead. David was the this is the end of this chapter 13. David was the best of the kings, and he still failed a number of times. He was a man. Just like Shemuel had warned, if you have a man as a king, he's going to make errors and all this stuff is going to happen. He was correct in his prophecy. Even King David, the very best of them. And Abishalom had plotted Amnon's death for years. So this was finally brought about. He got his revenge. Tamar was Abishalom's sister by David, probably by their same mother. Okay? Well, Amnon was of a different mother, so he was half brother. Well, he had plotted this death, and when the opportunity arose, he took it and had him killed. So David was inadvertently at fault for Abishalom's actions. Now we'll get into chapter 14. Verse 1. Now Joab, the son of Zeruiah, knew that the king's mind was upon Abishalom. He was really grieving that Abishalom was not there. He was all upset. He was living in Geshur. And he wanted him home. He loved him. Verse 2. Joab sent to Tekoa, 8620, and fetched 3947 from there a cunning 2450 woman, a wise woman, and said to her, please play the mourner. I got a cough, folks. Oh, my, that's rough. Please play the mourner and put on now apparel 899 of mourning, 60. Play the mourner is 56, and that's indicated by the dress. And do not anoint yourself, 5480, with oil, but be like a woman that has mourned a long time over the dead. She was an actress, evidently. Verse 3, come to the king and speak in this manner to him. So Joab put the words in her mouth. When spoke the woman Tekoith, 8621, that's feminine as a resident of 8620. When they have Eth on the back, that's the feminine gender. She was from Tekoa, so she was a Tekoeth. Spoke the woman Tekoeth to the king. She fell upon her face to the ground and prostrated herself and said, "Help! 3467, O king." Verse 5, said the king to her, "What is your trouble?" And she answered, "I am indeed a widow woman." That's 490. "And my husband is dead." Verse 6, "Your maidservant had two sons, and the two struggled together," 5327, "in the field, and none to make them part, and one smote the other and slew him." Verse 7, "Behold, the whole family is risen up against your maidservant. And they said, 'Give us he that smote his brother, that he be put to death for the life of his brother whom he slew. And we will destroy," 8045, "the heir," 3423, "also." And so they would extinguish, 3518, "my coal," 1513, "like a burning coal that is left." And that's as the family hope. "And shall not leave to my husband a name nor survivor," 7611, "upon the face of the land." Verse 8, said the king to the woman, "Go to your house, and I will give a command concerning you." Verse 9, said the woman Tekoeth to the king, "My lord, O king, the iniquity be upon me and upon my father's house, and the king and his throne are guiltless," 5355. Verse 10, said the king, "Whoever speaks to you, bring him to me, and he shall not touch you anymore." Verse 11, said she, "Please let the king remember Yahweh Elohecha," Yahweh your God, "that no kinsman avenger," 1350, "of blood may destroy," 7843, "lest they destroy," 8045, "my son." And he said, "As Yahweh lives, not a hair of your son will fall to the ground." Verse 12, said the woman, "Let your maidservant please speak a word to my lord the king." And he said, "Speak." Verse 13, said the woman, "Why then have you devised," 2803, "Kashabeta, such against the people of Elohim? The king speaks on this matter as one guilty," 818, in other words, a person that is guilty, "Ka'ashem, as a guilt requiring a trespass offering, and that the king does not return his banished," 5080. And she's speaking of Abishalom. Verse 14, "because we must die and are as water poured," 5064, "on the ground that cannot be gathered up, nor does Elohim take away a life," 5315, "yet he devises means," 4284, "that the banished are not banished from him." Verse 15, "now that I have come to speak of this matter to my lord the king, it is because the people make me afraid." And your maidservant said in her heart, "I will now speak to the king. Perhaps the king will act on the matter of his maidservant." Verse 16, "because the king will hear and save his maidservant from the hand of the man who would destroy me and my son together from the inheritance, 5159, of Elohim. Verse 17, and you can reference 2 Samuel 19:27 here. Your maidservant said in her heart, the word of my lord the king shall now be a resting place. 4496, and here that translates really as security, because as a messenger of Elohim in discerning good and evil, therefore Yahweh Eloheka be with you. Yahweh your God be with you. And you are like an angel of God, basically. Verse 18, answered the king and said to the woman, hide, 3582, hide not from me now the thing I shall ask you. And the woman said, let my lord the king now speak. Verse 19, said the king, the hand of Joab is with you in all this. And the woman answered and says, as your being lives, my lord king, if there is to the right hand or to the left from anything that my lord the king has spoken, it is because of your servant Joab. In other words, Joab was very loyal to the king at this point. He commanded me, and he put all these words in the mouth of your maidservant. Verse 20, to turn about, 5437, the appearance of this matter, has your servant Joab done this thing? And my lord is wise, 2450, like the wisdom of a messenger of Elohim, that's they call angel, knowing all that is in the land. Verse 21, said the king to Joab, behold, now I have done this thing. Go and return the young man Abishalom. He forgave him and said, bring him home. Verse 22, Joab fell to the ground upon his face and prostrated himself and blessed the king. Said Joab, today your servant knows that I have found grace in your sight, my lord, O king, and that the king has done the word of his servant. Verse 23, because Abishalom had done what was right, because Dawid didn't do it. Verse 23, so Joab rose up and went to Geshur and brought Abishalom to Jerusalem. That's Jerusalem. Verse 24, said the king, let him turn back, 5437, to his own house, and let him not see my face. He brought him back, but he wouldn't let him come into his presence because he had killed his brother. So Abishalom turned back to his own house and saw not the king's face. And that was very hurtful. Verse 25, in all Israel was no man as much praised, 1984, as Abishalom for his beauty, 3303, from the sole, 3709, of his foot to the crown of his head, 6936. There was no blemish, 3971, in him. Handsome young man. Verse 26, when he shaved off, 1548, now that's really, you know, when he had his hair cut, his head, for it was at the end of every year that he shaved it, because the hair was heavy, 3513, upon him, so he shaved it. The weight, 8254, of the hair, 8181, of his head was 200 shekels after the king's stone at 68, a stone used as a standard for weight. Verse 27, to Abishalom were born three sons and one daughter, whose name was Tamar. She was a woman of beautiful appearance. 4758. She was probably named after his sister Tamar. Like you name one of your sons after his granddaddy or an uncle. That's an honorarium to name the child after someone that is very great and loved in your family. Verse 28, so Abishalom dwelt 2 years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. Verse 29, Abishalom sent for Joab to send him to the king, but he would not come to him. And when he sent again the second time, he would not come. So he said to his servants, see, Joab's field is near mine, and he has barley there. Go and set it on fire. And Abishalom's servant set the field on fire. Joab rose up and came to Abishalom to his house and said to him, for what reason have your servants set my field on fire? 32. Abishalom said to Joab, behold, I sent to you, saying, come here, that I may send you to the king to say, why have I come from Geshur? It was good for me there still. Now let me see the king's face, and if there is iniquity in me, let him put me to death. Verse 33. So Joab came to the king and told him, and he called for Abishalom, and he came to the king and prostrated himself upon his face to the ground before the king. And the king kissed 5401 Abishalom as a father would kiss a son. So, bringing Abishalom back did not turn out to be a good thing, as will be seen in this next chapter. Abishalom took a little more on himself than he should have, and was going to rebel against his own father. And I need a hit of orange juice here. So let's get into the chapter 15 here. And Abishalom is planning a revolt. Verse 1, it came to be after this that Abishalom prepared himself a chariot and horses and 50 men to run before him. That was a kingly thing. So he was promoting himself at that point. Verse 2, Abishalom rose early to stand beside the way of the gate. And it was when any man that had a legal case, 7379, coming to the king for judgment, Abishalom would call to him and say, what city are you from? And he would reply, your servant is from one of the tribes of Israel. Verse 3, Abishalom would say, I see your case, 1697, that's literally a matter, is good, 2896, and right, 5228. But there is no one from the king to hear you. Verse 4, said Abishalom, who, 4310, will appoint, 7760, me as judge in the land, that all men that have any dispute, 7379, or legal case, 4941, might come to me and I would do justice. 6663. Verse 5, it was that when men came near to bow down, he put forth his hand and took hold of him and kissed him. He was sucking up to the people, appearing to be humble. Oh no, don't bow before me. Verse 6, after this manner did Abishalom to all Israel that came to the king for a judgment. So Abishalom stole away, 1589, the hearts of the men of Israel. He did this for years. Listen to this, verse 7. It came to be after the end of 40 years that Abishalom said to the king, "Please, let me go and pay my vow that I vowed to Yahweh in Hebron." Verse 8, "Because your servant vowed a vow while I abode in Geshur and Aram, saying, 'If Yahweh shall return me to Jerusalem, then I will serve Yahweh.'" He lied there. Verse 9, "Said the king to him, 'Go in peace.' So he rose up and went to Hebron." Verse 10, "But Abishalom sent spies through all the tribes of Israel, saying, 'When you hear the sound of the shofar," 7782, that's a ram's horn trumpet, "then say, Abishalom reigns in Hebron.'" Verse 11, "With Abishalom went 200 men from Jerusalem that were called. They went in their innocence," 8537, "and knew nothing of the entire matter." In other words, they were just called to accompany him. They didn't know he was going to try to revolt. Verse 12, "Abishalom sent for Achitophel," 302, "the Giloni," 1526, "Dawid's counselor," 3289, "from his city of Gilo," 1542, that's why he was called a Giloni, because he lived in Gilo, "while he slaughtered sacrifices. The conspiracy," 7195, "was strong," 533, "and the people increasingly went with Abishalom." Verse 13, "There came a report to Dawid saying, 'The hearts of the men of Israel are following Abishalom.'" Verse 14, "Said Dawid to all his servants that were with him in Jerusalem, 'Rise and flee, because we shall not escape from the presence of Abishalom. Hasten, 4:1-6, to depart, lest he overtake us swiftly and impel," 5080, "calamity," 7451, "upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword." In other words, his son had built his own army, was coming after his father and all his loyal servants. Verse 15, "The king's servants said to the king, 'Behold, your servants and all that our lord the king shall choose.'" In other words, we're loyal to you. Verse 16, "The king went forth with all his household on foot, and the king left 10 women concubines, 6370, to keep the house." These were women that just had sex with the king. They weren't full wives. They were secondary wives. He had a harem. That was the manner of the times for the king. But they were considered as his concubines to be his wives. They were a form of wife, not a full wife. Verse 17, "The king went forth with all the people on foot and tarried in a house far off." Verse 18, "All his servants passed on by his side, and all the Kerethi and all the Pelethi and all the Gittim, 600 men which came on foot from Gath, passed on by the presence of the king." They were Gittites. Verse 19, "Said the king to Ittai," 863, "the Gitti, 'Why go you also with us? Return to your place and abide with the king. For you are a racial Alien 5337, and also an Exile 1540. He's a Nakri, and an Exile is a Gole. You came yesterday, 8543. Should I this day make you walk and wander, 5128, with us, as I go where I may? Return, and return to your kinsmen. Kindness and faithfulness be with you. Verse 21. Ittai answered the king and said, as Yahweh lives, and as my lord the king lives, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or in life, even there will your servants be. He had the loyalty of this racial alien. Okay. He was a Gittite. Verse 22, said Dawud to Ittai, go and pass over. And Ittai the Gitti passed over, and all his men, and all the little ones that were with him. Verse 23, all the land wept with a great voice, and all the people passed over. The king himself passed over the Wadi Kidron, 6939, and all the people passed over upon the face of the way of the wilderness. Now, a wadi is like a riverbed. Verse 24, lo, came Sadok also, and all the Lewium, all the Levites, with him, bearing the Ark of the Covenant of Elohim. They set down the Ark of Elohim, and Ebyathar went up until all the people had finished passing from the city. So they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant with the true king. 25, said the king to Sadok, return the Ark of Elohim to the city. If I find favor in the eyes of Yahweh, he will return me and show me it and its abode. Verse 26, but if he says this, I have no delight in you, behold me, let him do to me as in his eyes is good. He was placing himself on the mercy of Yahweh. A righteous act. Verse 27. Said the king to the priest Sadok, do you see? Return to the city in peace, and your two sons with you. Achimaatz, 290, your son, and Jonathan, the son of Ebyathar. See, there's another man named Jonathan. More than one. Like people named John today. Verse 28, see, I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there comes word from you to tell me. Verse 29, Sadok and Ebyathar returned the Ark of Elohim to Yerushalayim and tarried there. Verse 30, Dawud went up the ascent, 4608, of Zathim, 2132, and that means 2132 means olives, and the ascent of Zathim is the Mount of Olives. Okay? And wept as he went up, with his head covered, and he walked barefoot. That's very humble. 3182. And all the people that were with him covered every man his head. That's the sign of mourning and grief. And they went up weeping as they went up. Verse 31. It was told to Dawud, saying, Achithophel is among the conspirators, 7194, with Abishalom. Said Dawud, O Yahweh, please turn the counsel of Achithophel into foolishness, 5528. Because he was Dawud's counselor. Well, he switched sides. Instead of being a wise counselor, make him a fool, in other words. Verse 32, it came to be When Dawood came to the top, he bowed himself to Elohim, and behold, Cushai, 2365, the Archi, 757, that's Archite, came to meet him with his tunic rent and soil upon his head. He was in mourning over what was going on with King Dawood. Dawood was loved by a lot of people, and they had split the country between Abishalom and Dawood. Abishalom just tore the whole country up. Verse 34, but if you return, to whom Dawood, verse 33, to whom Dawood said Dawood, if you pass on with me, you shall be a burden to me. 4853. Verse 34, but if you return to the city and say to Abishalom, I will be your servant, O king, as I have been your father's servant before now, so I will now also be your servant. Then you shall frustrate, 6565, the counsel of Achithophel. In other words, he sent in a spy into the ranks of his son's army. Verse 35, and is not there with you Sadok and Ebyathar the priests? It shall be what thing you hear from the house of the king, the new king, speaking of his son, you shall report to Zadok and Ebyathar the priests. Verse 36, behold, there with them are their two sons, Ahima'atz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Ebyathar's son. By them send to me all things that you hear. So Cushai, friend of Dawood, came into the city, and Abishalom entered Yerushalayim. He came in as a conquering king, overthrowing his father. Well, that wasn't going to last. And that ends chapter 15, and I'm almost out of time today. These were three exciting chapters, just great. All this intrigue and action I will be back on Monday, December 19th, with 2 Samuel 16, 17, and 18 to continue this story. So right now I will say, may Yahweh bless and keep you, and Shalom Aleichem, and I will talk to you on Monday. Praise Yahweh, and have a nice weekend.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the Lord.